Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scientology Podcast, episode number 9. You're stuck with just me tonight doing the intro and everything. We're all running on empty here lately. It's been very busy and very hectic with everything that we've been working on and everything going on over here. Tonight's episode is going to be about Scientology in schools. So the Church of Scientology has a program called Applied Scholastics. You could check out their websites, just appliedscholastics.com, I believe, or .org, one of the two. If you Google it, you'll get it. In my opinion, it's a great program, but it's hard to think of the way to phrase this, because people have such a negative view of Applied Scholastics because it's never presented in the light of what it really is. It's Scientology in schools, hence the name of this episode. Is Scientology brainwashing kids? You know, all of that. Excuse me. I'm fighting back a case of the hiccups. So, I personally have purchased, I think, 5 different copies of Learning How to Learn, the one for kids. There's a Learning How to Learn for Kids and a Learning How to Learn for much older children. So the one we're going to be looking at in particular today is the one for little kids. The premise is the same, but the way that it's taught is a little bit differently, obviously, depending on the age of the kid. But people seem to have the idea that these books by the church, and these books by L. Ron Hubbard to teach you how to study and how to learn. In Scientology, there's student hatting and how to study and all these different courses to help you be a better at learning in general. There's something that L. Ron says in this book, and I'll read the passage to you in a minute, that is echoed by a lot of different businesses. In particular, I work in technical support and practice management, and a big part of that is finances for these different companies, some small, some large. And what L. Ron Hubbard says in the book is that gathering more and more facts is not learning. And if when you first hear that or you first read that, you may be thinking, huh, that doesn't make any sense. But that's true. So in my job, we had a previous employee where they had gone through all of the training videos and in the financial aspect of this for these practices and these businesses, and they were learning all these different individual facts, and we had gone over this many times about what to do, and because they had only focused on facts and weren't actually learning, they knew how to give up the fact and say it at the right time. You know, you say, how do you fix this? And they would be able to give the correct fact because they had memorized the fact, but they didn't actually learn anything. They knew what you need to do, but they didn't know why. And so that's the real difference between memorizing and learning, something the American education system fails with massively with standardized testing. It's all about memorizing things to pass the test and not actually learning about the subject. So that is one of the first pages of the book where he talks about gathering facts is not learning. And I think that the example I'm giving here, you probably have one in your own life that you can think of. Cooking is used in the illustrations of the book a lot, and it is a great example. You can learn all the facts about cooking or cooking a certain recipe or whatever that you want. You can memorize a recipe, but you aren't learning how to cook. I know how you can read a recipe book and learn how and memorize a recipe to make a specific version of something, but you have only memorized it. You haven't actually learned why you do those things and learned about cooking. And so I have one of my copies. I bought this book for both of my nieces. Both of my nieces are very, very, very smart little girls, but they've had some troubles in their childhood with the situation that they found themselves growing up in, and they missed time in school and learning how to learn. I got it for them to help them catch back up. And to see what learning really is, because like I said, these girls go to school in the United States, and the American education system can be punishing, especially if you start to fall behind, because then they're just cramming more and more memorization into your head to pass the tests, the ISAT tests in the case of where they are. And they don't really learn anything. And what little you do learn, they've missed out on because they had to get caught up, and the focus on them getting caught up was just their tests. And at the very beginning, with all things, including Scientology as an example, but it doesn't just apply. Before you can take advantage of something and truly learn something and appreciate it and begin to understand it, you have to actually want to learn about it. That is one of the first things that it also says in this book. And the main reason that we're talking about this today is because learning how to learn in the Applied Scholastics publications, I personally think, and even if I was not a Scientologist, I was actually going to college to be an elementary school teacher before the coronavirus pandemic. And then everything kind of just. To say that everything went crazy when the pandemic hit in my life would be an understatement. But got it all together, didn't all fall apart. So. Even if I wasn't a Scientologist, just because I have actually looked at these materials, and it's not just this one, there's the Effective Guide to Communication and Grammar as well. That is a great educational book. They don't have that. They should still be in schools because I think that they are absolutely correct, and they give kids who might have trouble learning the way that the school system wants you to learn to begin with, but might have trouble learning in conventional methods anyway, some good alternatives, some good ways to think about things. This book doesn't make you feel bad about if you struggle. It gives you important tips, very similar to word clearing in Scientology, but I mean, word clearing should be used in anything. If you don't understand a word and and it's part of something that you are trying to understand, you have to understand a part before you can understand the whole. And it doesn't matter how small any piece is that you don't understand, it will snowball and you'll misunderstand more and more until you just get pissed off and decide that you don't understand anything and give up. And so the misunderstood word in word clearing, a version of it for children is in here, but it's not quite the same. It's not presented in that way like it is in Scientology. But I guess, like I was saying, word clearing and not going past a word you don't understand isn't really religious anyway. It doesn't really make sense to me. I've actually shown this book to some people, and even in showing them what it says in the book, I still find them uncomfortable with it, and I just don't understand why. So, we're gonna look at a bit of this book together. The book I felt has helped the people I've given it to. If I could give it to more children or even give it to teachers around here in my community, I absolutely would, but I know that if I did that, they would either not use it because it has L. Ron Hubbard's name on the front if they know who it is, or there would be a media crap storm once any parent who did recognize the name started to talk about it or reach or to get upset with the school about it. And that's the whole reason I wanted to do this episode is I wish that I could present this to every parent and say, this book is an excellent tool for children and it has nothing to do with religion whatsoever. Nothing to do with Dianetics or any Scientology teachings is in this book. So we're going to look at a little bit of it here. Just if you haven't ever read the book, or if you are interested, I would absolutely suggest that you take a listen to this with me here and then decide for yourself, especially if you have an aversion to Scientology, because I think this is a good example of how everything to do with Scientology always gets blown out of proportion and gets misrepresented. And Applied Scholastics is a perfect example of that. People see Scientology being associated with Applied Scholastics, which is putting the material in the schools, and they assume, well, the church is printing the books and giving them to kids, so the church must be trying to brainwash the kids. It's the dumbest thing. It makes no sense, honestly. I don't get it. So we're just going to look at a couple of things that are in this book. I highly encourage you just to buy it. You can get it for like $14, especially if you have kids. If you have a kid who's struggling with learning, no matter how young or old they are, this book is from the 1980s, or I believe, possibly the 70s. Let me look at the copyright date. Yeah, this book is all the way back from the 80s, and it talks about learn the way to deal with children, with kids who struggle to learn in a conventional way. And when I was in elementary school in the early 2000s, that was not something that was discussed, even in the slightest. So, we're just gonna look at a little bit of things here. I've highlighted a couple of things. Literally on page 4 of the book is what I was just talking about. Learning is not just getting more and more facts. Getting more and more facts is not learning. Learning is understanding new things and getting better ways to do things. Before you can learn about something, you have to want to learn about that thing. Lord knows that's true. That's why almost every high schooler can't wait to get to college so that they can take the courses that actually interest them. And boy, are there so many high schoolers who may not be fully prepared for the college experience going to be disappointed by general prereqs. The next one, and God, this. If there was only one page that I could print out and blow up and try as hard as I might to get as many to get this through as many people's heads as possible in the world, it would be great. And this one is, if you think you know all there is to know about something, you will not be able to learn about it. I mean, that's the whole reason this podcast exists, isn't it? All these people out there who think that they already know everything there is to know about Scientology, so they refuse to learn about it or are unable to accept new information to better understand it. And a funny side story, when I got this book for one of my friends' children, the illustration on this page for if you think you know all there is to know about something. The illustration is a kid who says, I can show you how to make a paper airplane. And then the other kid says, I know how to make paper airplanes already. And then she can't figure it out, so she crunches it up and throws it away. And when the book got to my friend and they were working through the book together, they got to this page, and the kid and the little boy who I got the book for, my friend's son, they got to this page, and he actually said the same thing before he even realized it. She sent me a picture and was like, yeah, Ella, we got to this page. And as soon as he saw it, he was like, I don't need to learn how to make paper airplanes. I make the best ones. It's perfect. I mean, you can't deny that that is the way that this is phrased is perfect for a lot of kids. The first thing you have to decide is that you want to learn something. Again, it's all for kids. Then it just kind of goes into a couple of basic things about learning. Studying meaning to look at something, not just reading books. I think that's a great thing too. And we're leading into that same kind of thing where this book is already beginning to talk about how learning doesn't just have to mean putting your nose into a book and trying to struggle your way through it if that's not a conducive way for you to learn something. The illustrations kind of go over that. If you want to learn about trees or flowers or gardening or something, you can't just sit there and read about it all the time. You could go talk to somebody who works at a gardening center, or go to one of the botanical gardens and learn about them there, or actually going out and learning it by hand, doing it yourself. And so that's what it's kind of what it's talking about in the illustrations in the book here. So to ask about it, to ask about things, to read about things, to do things yourself. And as you do that, that is how you learn. You're not just taking in facts about, well, you know, gardening means putting seeds in soil and watering them, and then roots sprout from the seed, and then et cetera, et cetera. Learning is actually finding out why they do it, so you can better understand what you're doing, when you're doing it, and how, and through that learning and that experience that you get, you become better prepared to answer not only other people's questions, but even your own down the line. You become better equipped to answer your own questions and to improvise or make changes or understand what is going wrong when things do. That's why I know so much about Scientology. I didn't just, you know, I know a lot of things in the books by heart, but only because over 9 years, I mean, I've read almost all the books at least 3 times at this point. And so it's hard to word, at least for me, just because I so wish that I would have had something like this when I was in school. I'm not an idiot. I am good at memorizing, but I wish so much that in my early time in life, I didn't constantly feel like I was so stupid because I was good at learning but bad at taking tests. You know, in math, it is a good example. I was good at learning. I understood why we were doing the things, but because it was just nose in a book, at my school, there was barely even any question asking whatsoever, because my math teacher was short-tempered, to say the least. And that's just putting it mildly. God, with my math teacher, if you were late to the class, my poor friend, who, when she was late, the math class was in the annex behind the gym, and she was late one day, and he's like throwing the book, throwing the answer guide and stuff at the smart whiteboard. And this was in the early or late 2000s, so that was when that was expensive, like banging on it and throwing stuff around. So I guess it's a combination between I didn't feel like I had an alternative way to learn because I wish that I would have had something like this as a kid to help me think or know of other ways, but also I didn't have somebody that I could ask for help. Learning how to learn also has little question and answers, so that excuse me, gosh, I just cannot get rid of these right now. So that as you're working through the book, you can kind of see if the person is the child is paying attention. You don't actually need to have them write them down. With the kids, some of the kids I've given the book to, with my friends or family, we do, what is it? Video calls. We do through Facebook Messenger, and we would just go through the book together, and then I would ask them, and they would answer them to me. And much like this is one of the things where it is similar to Scientology. If you're a parent and you give this to your kid, you can't just expect the book to magically make them better at learning and do better in school by the simple nature of giving them the book. You have to be proactive in being a part of it. You have to be interested in learning and give your own examples about how this might apply to you or to them, so that they can see the value in learning, that it's not just another book that's gonna do the same old thing and not make a difference for them. And there are adult versions of this too. Many adults, I mean, it's a lot more complex and more complicated, different, answering more complicated questions related to study and learning, but I mean, the basic premise remains the same. You have to be willing to participate. And that's why I do that with my nieces and with the other kids. And like I was saying, that when my friend's son, when he got the book, they were doing the book together. On a side note, with Dianetics, some of those same people have got their own copies of Self-Analysis, and it was the same kind of thing. I was trying to tell them that you can do it by yourself, but with one of my friends, they were room two of my friends back from back in high school, were living together. And when they got their book, as only one of them was talking to me about it when they got it, but as it's like, if you can do it together, that's gonna make it a lot more powerful. You can't, I mean, you can do Self-Analysis and Handbook for Preclears by yourself, but you cannot do excuse me, you cannot do Dianetics on your own. The experience of learning, or the experience of relief, or the experience of talking about your problems and things like that is more powerful when you have someone else, and together you can lift each other up the tone scale. Or together you can learn things and lift each other up and share your wins with each other. And it's much more empowering to be able to learn together. And so, as you keep going through this book, I really encourage you to even if you only set out, like, maybe let your kid do work the book themselves, but maybe one day a week, you do it together, something like that. The best that you can with what you with the time that you have or the constraints that you find your life yourself in. So the majority of the book is just for kids. It's just the kind of things that we were talking about. It's very clear and simple, little tools and tricks for them to learn how to learn more effectively. But then you get, and this is also used in the more complicated versions of student hatting or study tech. But these are the three barriers to study and to learning, no matter what you're trying to learn. The first one is the lack of mass. If you've ever been to a Church of Scientology, or if you order the kit from Applied Scholastics, you'll get clay or Play-Doh, some variety, with the book. And that's because one of the easiest ways to get, and this is nowadays, this is used with people with certain learning disabilities or who have adversities when learning in traditional ways, but and yet people still treat it like it's some kind of fucking pseudoscience. It's so annoying because now it's part of a teacher curriculum for certain certain examples of students and things. But when it comes from this book, suddenly it's, you know, hocus pocus and fairy tales. It's so annoying. But the fir if you are struggling to understand something, no matter what it is, especially if it's an abject that and something that you're struggling to understand and it's abject and you don't have an object in front of you, you can take the clay or the Play-Doh or whatever, and you mold it into an object. And so you take the abject thought that you're struggling to understand, and this doesn't apply in every case, obviously, but you do what you can with clay to make it real, to make it an object, take the abject and make it an object. And then in the process of doing that, you're using different parts of your brain and it helps you understand. And that is now a technique that is used in schools by non-Scientologists for children who have difficulties learning in traditional ways. And like, but like I was saying, when if it comes from this book, they treat it completely differently, even though the premise is exactly the same. They will also do this with you if you take courses at an org. I guess I never experienced this because by the time I ever got to an org, I had already read every single piece of public material that was out there. To the point that I think that some of the people in the church probably thought that I was like lying about it. Because there's not very many people who have no contact with an org. I mean, at least I don't think there is. There might be. But I mean, yeah, I had a lot of the materials that I just ordered from Bridge or from Amazon, from Bridge through Amazon, most of the time, actually. But you get then from there, you get to the second barrier of study, the skipped gradient. And God knows when I explain this to a lot of you out there, you will relate to this hardcore. Because one of the things that a lot of people struggle with, or the most common things in school that people struggle with, is math. Even as adults and as we go through our lives, now, of course, obviously, we have a calculator everywhere we go. Take that, teachers. But so many parents, when trying to do homework with their kids or when they were in school themselves, would find themselves getting to algebra or geometry or trig or something like that and being completely lost. I think algebra is probably the most hated subject of all. And the skipped gradient, it comes from all learning starts at the bottom where you know nothing, and there is a gradient where you go from knowing nothing to knowing all you can know, with the exception of all you, with all that you know you can know, meaning that there are things that you know you can't know, or that you don't know you don't know. And so that's just after the end of the gradient. You have to figure that out yourself. That's the mystery of life as we go through it, and the what makes discovery exciting and important. So with the gradient, where you start at the bottom and you're working your way to the top, everybody needs to have a gradient that works for them. You can't expect somebody to go from knowing nothing to knowing everything at like an 85 degree angle. That is not an acceptable gradient. I've mentioned gradients before too. We're talking about how a lot of people who get into Scientology read the materials in a bunch of crazy orders, or don't know what they're reading because they haven't read the prerequisites, so they get confused because their learning gradient is super high. And so the skipped gradient and how it applies to that math situation is that a lot of people, like a shockingly high number of people, do not know how to do division by hand. I mean, they can get, you know, 81 divided by 9, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Keep getting tongue-tied from these. I am so sorry, ladies and gentlemen. But they can figure out ones like that where, you know, it's 81 divided by 9 is 9. 9 times 9 is 81. Or, you know, 25 divided by 5. And they can figure it out whether it's, you know, the 5 and then you have the little part of the rectangle. I don't know what that division symbol is called. But, you know, the 5 and then inside the little part of the box, you have 25. 5 times 5 is 25. Another basic example. And so or, you know, 25 over 5, dividing it that way, and can figure it out that way, or long division, figuring out your remainder by doing it with that same little box. But long division is where we start to get to the point where people are starting to not know what they should know to be able to continue learning. Because from once you get to long division, you have to start trying to divide fractions. And God help you to try and ask a lot of people to divide fractions, or even multiply fractions, or even getting one, like even getting it so that when you're working with fractions, to get them to be the same, to the same, I can't think of the word. The big number. I can't think of the word, but you know what I mean. If you have 1/6 versus 1/12, you have to make the 6 the 12. So they both need to be the same bottom number. God, I wish I could remember it. But that's the idea. You start to get to that point where people don't know these things. And then because they don't know long division and their learning gradient has started to become it longer and longer before they get up to knowing everything that they should know, they finish long division not knowing what they need to know, go on to algebra, and then they don't know, they don't even realize that they don't have, they're not even starting at the bottom of the gradient. They didn't get to the base point to be able to know anything about it. So they're actually starting, their gradient is much sharper over time because they're not starting where they should be. And so, and that applies to God knows, that applies to everything. The skipped gradient, I mean, if you take a kid and put him on a bicycle and just have him start riding, you've skipped the part where they were on a tricycle or with training wheels and just threw him on a bike and said, figure it out. And maybe they will figure it out, but it's going to be a lot harder and take a lot more lumps and a lot more effort for them to figure it out because they had such a bad learning gradient. And that applies to everything in life. And then we get to the third barrier of study, which we have already kind of intimated on a little bit here, and that is the misunderstood word. And I think at this point that that really needs no further explanation from me. I've talked about this a million times and brought up how every single Scientology book begins with a letter from the editor that says, "Do not go past a word that you do not understand." That's not religious scripture or mysterious doctrine or brainwashing or anything. That's just common sense. So, if you have more questions about learning how to learn, or applied scholastics in general, I would highly encourage you to reach out to me to our ScientologyChat@gmail.com email. Ask me questions. We can communicate about what's in this book, or order a copy from yourself from Applied Scholastics. You can get it from Applied Scholastics where you get it directly from them. You can get it through Amazon, just like all the other materials. I really, really encourage you, no matter your religious beliefs in life, or if you are atheist whatsoever. I mean, honestly, did anything that I just tell you about that comes from this book really sound like it matters if you believe in Jesus or whether you believe in or the Prophet Muhammad or whether you believe that we are all immortal spiritual beings and will be reincarnated in the next life instead of going to to the promised land, the afterlife? It doesn't, none of that matters in the context of what's in this. It does what it says on the tin. It's helping you learn how to learn. Because, like we talked about in the beginning, learning as a concept is in and of itself something that must be taught. It has to be clear, especially for children who are beginning to learn everything in their lives. It has to be taught to them that learning doesn't just mean memorizing things so that you can regurgitate them for a test or in a question answer format. You have to learn the what's, the whys, the hows of things. You have to be inquisitive and actually learn. And that even ties into what we usually end our show with, and it's very appropriate as we approach our 40-minute mark. Once we all, as a human race, learn again what it means to learn, to question, and to reach out and get more information and data, and to do whatever you can to get the answers and to know, like we said, the what's, the why's, the how's, the world of misinformation and idiocy that we find ourselves living in, where people believe the most unbelievable things because they only, to them, learning is just memorizing and regurgitating facts. You know, if you, even on Facebook, it can boil down to something as simple as somebody says to you, China is the most populous country in the world. And you can memorize that fact and regurgitate it later if somebody says and asks you that question, but did you learn about China by by memorizing that fact? Do you know how China became has become the most populous country in the world? Do you know what it's like being in China? I think it's that kind of thing. It's the more we can try our best with books like this to with kids to help them be inquisitive and want to know the answers, or and the reason behind the answers, that is probably going to be one of the things that if we could ever achieve it, would save us from ourselves and what we are slowly becoming. We have to do, you know, everybody wants to say, talk about the war on disinformation, but the thing is, they don't want you to stop being disinformed. They want you to take their disinformation, not the other people's. They don't want you to question all of the information that you get. They only want you to trust the information that you get from them. And I even the United Nations, I see them do this. They tell you, you have to question, you have to know your sources, but then they give you a link where they tell you what sources you should or should not trust. And so maybe I agree with some of those and maybe I don't, but the point should be to discover what is or isn't misinformation. You as an individual should have the wherewithal and the knowing of what you need to know to be able to learn. That is what's going to protect you from misinformation. Your ability to discern what's, why's, how's, and who's of the answers that you see for the questions and hear for the questions that you ask. So that's what we talked about in today's episode, is learning how to learn Scientology in schools. I apologize again for the hiccups. They finally seem to have abated. It seems like once I get fired up, they just seem to go away. As always, if you have any questions, you can reach out to us and let me know at ScientologyChat, all one word, at gmail.com. We will be back on Sunday. If you have any suggestions or topics you'd like to hear about, I'd love to hear about them. If you are a Scientologist out there and you might be interested in doing and talking to me so that we could put it on the podcast, I would love to do that as well. I'm very curious to reach out to some other Scientologists who may have differing opinions on what I have to say. And finally, two last things before we end today. The first one is that the topic we discussed today, I feel went really well in spite of my my throat not wanting to cooperate, was a suggestion. And I wanted to thank the person who made this suggestion. They asked not to be named, but we appreciate messages. I mean, there are Scientology groups on Facebook, and you might see me in there and be able to reach out to me that way. That's where our suggestion for today's show came from. And then the next thing I wanted to talk about, too, before we end, is I wanted to say thank you again to everybody across Podbean. All of the different podcast apps with YouTube, Facebook, X, Twitter, whatever. Across all of our platforms, we crossed 500 downloads in almost 1 month to the day. And so I wanted to tell you how much I appreciate that. And the feedback from this show, whether it's in Facebook groups or via email or Facebook Messenger, has been so unexpected and so heartwarming. And I wanted to tell you how much I appreciate that. I certainly hope that I have not, through what I have said, I have not personally influenced any of your views on anything, whether it's the church itself, different materials, or different parts of the theology. All I can ever hope to do with this, no matter what your exposure is or your opinion of Scientology, my only hope in doing this podcast is that I can encourage you not to take anybody's word for anything. Something is only true if it's true for you. So whether you have to get the materials yourself or you go out and you do your own research and you come to your own conclusion based off of what you have done the work to find out for yourself, I cannot tell you how incredibly grateful, happy, and proud that I am, that has been a part of it. I honestly thought with over 500 listeners at this 500 downloads at this point, that doesn't even include plays, apparently, according to the metrics that they show. I was expecting a lot more hate mail. And to so far, we have got none, not one hurtful message. That brings us to the end of our episode tonight. Thank you again for bearing with me through the hiccups and the pauses where I tried to regain my composure. I appreciate you all so very much. Thank you again. Reach out to us with whatever you can think of. Have a great rest of your night. We will see you on Sunday. And again, remember, something is only true if it is true for you. Have a good night.